So yes, so thank you all for being here today, and that we're going to take this journey. First, we're going to have a meditation, and then I'm going to set it up a little bit more, the talk, and then we're going to listen to Sharon McKnight sing. So take a breath, everybody. Look at that nice flickering candle. You know, last week we do it every time I speak online. We'll change that in a few weeks when we speak. But for right now, let's have an open eye meditation. Let's open our eyes and see. See the light. Take a breath. Oh, look at that. I breathed and it flickered. Take a breath. Lovely breath in. Let it swirl around there. And then a nice exhale. Through these meditations, I always prefer to breathe in through the nose and exhale through the mouth. Imagine that if you take a nice, easy breath in, but all the way. Open your mouth wide to exhale. We're going to do it again. We're going to breathe in through our nose, and then we're going to exhale for as long as we can through a wide mouth exhale. Doing something like that can calm the body, it can ease the thoughts, it can ease the flow of the, you know, everything that flows through the body. So I like to start the meditation, as you always know, or as you know, I always do, which is, the Christ in me is awake now. Those of you who care to, would you know that with me? The Christ in me is awake now. Can also affirm, love in me is awake now. Say it together. Love in me is awake now. Let's do this next one. Peace in me is awake now. Let's know it together. Peace in me is awake now. This next one. Harmony in me is awake now. Let's know it together. Harmony is awake now. So once again, I'm going to breathe in through my nose and then do a nice long exhale through a wide open mouth. We're going to do it again, but this time we're going to take on the thought, all good is awake in me now. So now we can breathe more easily, more gently. Let's take a few moments into the silence to watch this flickering flame, knowing that the Christ in me is awake now. Peace in me, joy in me, love in me, harmony, all good is awake in me now. Let's go on in and look at the flame. All good. All good is awake in me now. All good is awake in every cell, every tissue, every fiber of my being. All good is consciously leading my thoughts, because the Christ in me is awake now, because life is awake in me now, because love is awake in me now, because joy is awake in me now, because God is, I am awake now. So knowing all this information about spirit within us and observing our willingness to know it, let's start our journey back here. See your journey in the movement of the flame. And as we come back, let us come back to this sanctuary, this place called unity. And as we come back, let us come back refreshed, renewed, fully aware of the good that has just taken place, that we may say thank you and amen. Beautiful. Beautiful. I feel different. I really do. So, my good friend Sharon McKnight, I asked permission to use these songs today. She's sung them for me before, but usually at 11 o'clock at night. But what you're going to hear today, her two songs, they were sung for me in the morning at a church. And Sharon has a way of taking us to our shadow side that is really pretty phenomenal in her music. And Sharon's one of my favorite all-time singers, because there's just, in my day, Sharon's worst is better than most at their best. And so I have always had such a high regard for Sharon McKnight and her interpretation, the way she sees things when she sings. And it's a conversation, it's a hard one, but it's a conversation. And then we're going to talk more about it after she sings. So, Leo, let's hear Sharon.
If you look at some of your life, you might think back, geez, wish I hadn't done that. I wish I hadn't thought that. Geez. So we're going to go on a little journey here of self-loathing to the call from Spirit to the resolution.
Yes, baby, I've been drinking, and I shouldn't have come by. No, but you see, I found myself in trouble, darling, and I didn't have no place else to go. Got some whiskey from the barman, and some cocaine from my best friend, and I gotta keep on moving. Your arms once again. Guilty. Yes. Yes, I'm guilty. Honey, I'm gonna be guilty for the rest of my days. How come I never do what I'm supposed to do? How come nothing I try, nothing ever turns out right? You know me, babe. You know how it is with me. You see, I just can't stand myself. No. It's gonna take a whole lot of medicine, darling.
Claire McKnight with the very young Kenneth Gartman behind her. I listened to that song. If you ever want to, there's another video on YouTube of Sharon singing that in Germany in a very red dress and very poofy hair. Now that Guilty, that song has always fascinated me because guilt is something so many of us use as redemption. Guilt is something we use either, I should be guilty because of this, or you should be guilty for what you have done, for scaring me, for whatever. But in my book here, Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament, Matthew 22:11, it says, no one who comes will be turned away. This is about the wedding banquet, if you're reading your traditional Bible. All are invited. I'll go up to verse 13. All are invited to the wedding banquet, and all in their time will arrive. It is upon arriving that they will realize what they have been invited to attend. Upon that realization, all else will fall away. They will not remember if they are the bride or groom or guest. They will not remember if the journey was short or long. With many distractions or few, all that they will know is that they have arrived and they are joined. Then the next section goes, no one will be turned away, for no one can come unless he is ready. And if he is ready, he shall be wearing his wedding clothes. Do not fear that you will be turned away from God. When God looks at you, God sees you as spotless and ready for the joining. Even more, God sees you already joined and at the banquet. It is you who judges and sees yourself as guilty. This is but a distraction on your journey to the wedding banquet. Let it not keep you from God, who waits in peace at the banquet table, eager to embrace his beloved child again. So, you know, this journey to the wedding banquet seems to be your time in the world, our time in the world. And in the song, Sharon uses so many examples that, you know, I got some whiskey, I got cocaine, I did this. But we don't all have to be drug addicts. We don't all have to use those kind of substances. We can use our thinking to be our drug of choice. I've said many times, the obsession to drink was lifted very quickly for me. The obsession to think was not. And so I look at my life and I think, oh. And some people, when they're trying to heal, they really do think that guilt is the path to it. I have been guilty. And some people use guilt as a way of maintaining the poor behavior, the destructive thinking. That they'll just use that. Oh, at least I'm guilty. I don't have to change, but I'm guilty. Oh, I'm a bad person. I'm a terrible person. Oh, God would never accept me if there was a God. And to look at all that and say, am I happy with that? Am I happy with that perspective? Am I happy with any of that thinking? Is it giving me more joy? Does it give me more satisfaction? Do I have more friends? Do I influence more people with that kind of attitude? Or is it just I make more people afraid of me? More people who want to keep a distance. Think about it. I've been guilty. When I came into, you know, healing, then I came into unity for more healing, I still thought there was a part of me that was bad. A part of me that really wasn't, we'll say worthy of the kingdom. You know, it's a euphemism, but worthy of the kingdom. That I wasn't worthy to, not just to be loved by God, but to love God. And I think that was really the confusion. I don't know that I ever doubted that whatever God is loved me. But I'm pretty sure I didn't think I was worthy to love God. I think I probably thought I was a hypocrite to say I loved God. I appreciated a concept of God, but to actually love God, let alone love my neighbor, and so or myself, I was quite destructive. I'm not bad because I did that. I was confused. I wasn't in my right mind. When we hurt ourselves, we're not in our right mind. When we hurt each other, we're not in our right mind. We forgot we were invited to the wedding. We forgot that in what God is, which is love, we are inherently good. And it's got nothing to do with how we behave. It's our divine nature. And so in the beginning of our redemption, which is not guilt, Holy Spirit speaks to us. The voice for God speaks to us. It could come through our own mind. It could come through a friend, a stranger, who calls us forth to a higher way of thinking. And so this next song of Sharon's that I dearly love, and she didn't write these, but that she sings, and she sings with such heart and compassion. Let's listen to it and see what we think on that.
Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? You've been out riding fences for so long now. You're a hard one. I know you've got your reasons. These things that are pleasing you can hurt you somehow. Don't you draw the Queen of Diamonds? She'll beat you. If she is able, the Queen of Hearts is always your best bet. Oh, you're losing all your highs and lows. Ain't it funny how the feelings go away?
You better let somebody love you. When I came into 12-step recovery, I heard, we're here to love you until you love yourself. It's the same in unity. We're here to love the newcomer, the visitor, the whatever, till they can love themselves. Now, early on in my healing, I remember somebody saying to the group at large, I am so uncomfortable that you people love me. And I thought, love you? I don't even like you. And then I thought about it. And I thought, but if you needed me, if I could facilitate healing for you, I'd be there for you in a second. Perhaps that's love. I think it is. It's love in its purer form, not based on personality, but based on humanity, based on connection. And so, Sharon, that voice, I've had that same voice in me. I've had others talk to me, but I heard that voice within me saying that to me. My voice was saying that to me. I need to come to my senses. And I need to find out what's true and what isn't true. And you better let somebody love you. Not that doesn't mean take them hostage. It means let people love me into wellness. Let strangers love me. Let myself love me. Let strangers become friends. People who understand spirit. People who understand principles of healing, healing our mind, healing our body, healing our finances, healing our relationships. You know, in that desperado, after I've been so guilty, oh gosh, I've done so many awful things or thought so many awful things, or I've been so confused and I thought I was doing the right thing at the time, but I wasn't. And suddenly that voice for God comes in and says, Hey, there's another way of thinking. What you forgot in everything was love in its pure form. What you forgot is to love. And sometimes the only love you can give is to let yourself be loved in ways that you don't understand, in ways that feel right. And I should listen and pay attention here, but in those ways that are so foreign to perhaps your childhood, foreign to your behaviors of the past years. I never said the talk title today. And the talk title is, I need a God that's bigger than my understanding. How about that? Yeah, you know, and I know I'm talking a lot about 12-step recovery, but today, in the steps, third step is made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. But you see, I needed a God bigger than that. I needed a God bigger than my understanding of God if I was going to heal. And so I set about finding a God bigger than my understanding, so that I could think bigger, so that I could see bigger, so that I could become an active participant in this world and not take it personally, to realize as God is for me, nothing could be against me. And so people aren't against me, you know, and even though they may scare me, they may trigger old things in my thinking. But that doesn't mean they're against me. It just means I don't yet understand. But I will not go back to the chaos within my thinking. And so I've got to find a God bigger than my understanding. And I kept getting bigger understandings of God. And every time I thought I understood what God was, God changed. God got bigger. So here in this desperado place, I'm thinking, what am I doing wrong? And the truth is, I was doing it right. My God was too small. Is your God too small today? If it is, get a bigger one. I did. And I kept looking and exploring. And I talked to people who had found joy in life. And they had found wisdom in life. And they seemed to know what to do with life. And I asked them what they did. Sometimes I'd ask them to coffee. I would take them to coffee. I would take them to lunch or breakfast or whatever. And I'd say, tell me about it. Or I would call them on the phone. I'd say, tell me about your healing, how you found some joy. tell me, tell me, tell me. And with that, I began to gain confidence that life really was on my side. And I began to gain confidence that if the help I needed wasn't here yet, well, it was on its way. Anybody? Cue, song cue, anybody? Don't play it yet. But I began to gain confidence. I had gone from guilt and shame and self-destruction and world destruction, really, to a place of, what do I do? What do I do? There must be love for me, but I don't know how to find it and how to accept it, really. And then I began to listen. And I just showed up and I listened. And then I began to ask questions. And life got better. And then I began to pray in a new way, and life got really better. So I kept praying in a new way, and life got even better than that. And then my God got bigger and better, and then it got bigger again, and then it got better, and then it got scary, and then it got bigger, and then it got better. And to the point where I can walk through life now with a certain amount of humility, meaning I expect God's best. It doesn't mean I don't throw a temper tantrum every now and then. But overall, I do expect God's best, and I'm surprised when other people don't, really. It's like, why aren't you doing what I'm doing? But I know that if I don't have the answer yet, it's on its way. If I don't have the vision yet, it's on its way. If I don't have what I think I need, it's on its way, and it'll be here just as soon as I'm ready to truly receive it. You know, there's no absence of our good. It's just waiting for us to be able to embrace it. So people, get a God that's bigger than your understanding so that you're safe to expect the absolute best. Thank you.
Don't give up the ship, even when you feel it's sinking and you don't know what to do.
Don't give up your dream, even though you may be thinking it never will come true.
Life has its own ideas of how things come about, and if you just hang in there, life has gotta work it out.
Help is on the way from places you don't know about today. You're on his leading, you just have to walk along,
dreaming as you go, asking for the things you're needing. You never can go wrong
if you have faith that things are happening as they should, and just believe each step you take is leading you to something good.
Places you don't know about today,
from friends you may not.